SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour 3 of Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on Twitter at Bogman Sports. Joined as always by my friend OKC Bubba at BDNTrick on the Twitter machine. Bubba, what is going on, my man?
Not much. We've entered March already. The year is flying by. They call it March Madness. I've seen March Sadness if you're a baseball fan. And I didn't even make that one up, Bogman. That was somebody else.
So oh, no way.
Can't even take credit
for that. I'm sure it's a dad.
Yeah, probably. Most likely should be. Deservedly so. But yeah, life is great. Life is great. We move on. There's more going on. You got your combine, so you can watch your boys in underwear do things. And
I get
to watch golf and just try to hope baseball comes back sooner than later.
Yes. I mean, we are going to get into it. And, you know, I've got the beep drop ready for both of us to potentially not be able to handle this stuff here. But Bub, let's talk about the golf stuff real quick. Obviously, I'm not the biggest follower of the golf goings on here, but, we talked a lot about Phil Mickelson last week and how he was pretty much upsetting anyone he spoke to. So is there any update on that? Maybe more sponsors leaving, some sponsors standing for him. I don't know. I honestly have no idea. I've been waiting for you to update me on what is going on with Phil. If anything, did he just F off and, you know, go right into the sunset for a little bit to try to let this blow over, or what's happening with him?
Well, he said he was going to disappear for a little bit, basically. But since he's disappeared, Callaway Golf, which is one of the biggest golf companies in the world for like clubs and balls and everything, they're taking a temporary leave from Phil Mickelson. That's what they said. So they didn't completely drop him like some other sponsors, but they are even taking a step back because he's been on a lot of commercials for them. Like, he's one of their biggest ambassadors, and he's not a part of that right now. So that's gone. And then something else that's funny, it's called PIP. I guess like player something performance. It's an initiative by the PGA Tour to get players more active on social media, interactive with the fans, just doing all kinds of other things. So whoever's most interactive each year gets the top prizes, $8 million, then $6 million, and drops down. They get paid a lot of money just to be interactive. There's a lot of BS behind it all. It basically seems like it's the let's give Tiger Woods money that he deserves because he's made us so much money since then award. But because there's some people that are phenomenal on social media and they're not even close to the top 10, which is crazy. But back in, I think it was December, it looked like it was going to be Phil's, like he was the one that was supposed to win.
I hit Bubba with a private chat thing and it tripped him up.
It took me a second to figure it out. Now I figured it out. It looked like it was Phil's to win and Tiger was nowhere to be found because Tiger hasn't played golf since he got in a car accident basically a year ago. But it was announced
only a year ago. That feels like it was 4 years ago.
This was the car accident where he flipped, not where his wife beat the car.
Oh, no, I understand. That was like 15 years ago.
Yeah, this was a year ago. So
that was when South Park did the PGA Tour, like hit X to lie. They're like, this is a golf game? Yeah, I remember that.
But as of Wednesday morning, they announced the official PIP winners for the past season, and Phil finished second all of a sudden.
Ooh.
He got knocked down because one of his comments he was said earlier was how greedy the PGA Tour is and how they don't treat their players properly. So they took $2 million away, essentially. By making second. And they made Tiger Woods number one. So he got paid $8 million. But what was hilarious is Phil had a big tweet from when it looked like he was going to win it all. So Tiger Woods' Twitter account went and found it, quote tweeted it, and said "whoopsies," and tweeted it out. So,
oh lordy!
Other than that, Phil's pretty much been gone. He's hiding like he should be. I don't know when we're gonna see him again because he ticked a lot of people off, and losing Callaway was a big one. So I don't know what Phil's up to. I know he still has a few more brands, but he's kind of MIA right now.
I don't know anything about Callaway, but I know I've seen many of you golf guys wearing the Callaway hats. So I just assume they make, you know, clubs.
Big time company.
All that stuff.
There's like four or five companies that make clubs and stuff, and they're one of the big ones.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it is what it is for Phil. So I guess we'll see him when we see him. What's coming up on the docket for golf? What's like the next big thing? Is it the Masters?
No, they're at the Arnold Palmer Invitational this week. Arnold's gone, of course, but that's a big tournament. Next week is the Players Championship, the biggest purse in golf, which is amazing. It's like the best of the best go there. Then a couple weeks later, you do get the Masters. So it's an awesome like stretch of golf coming up here where it's going to be bang, bang, bang. Awesome golf, awesome fields of players. It's if you're a golf fan, which you might be eventually someday if you keep letting me talk about it, this is a cool time for golf because right now it's like challenging courses. Then you get the big time events with the big time players, and it's a lot of fun for like even the novice fans can kind of enjoy it at least.
I'm obviously a way bigger Bubba fan than I am golf fan here.
And I'll just give you my report once a week.
Right. Which is why I love having you talk golf to keep me updated. But maybe I need to be a golf fan pretty soon here because we aren't getting baseball. At least, hopefully Thursday produces something. We're recording this late in the day on Wednesday. Obviously, not a lot going on here outside of the combine, but we can talk about the combine results next week. It's not that big a deal. We're still going to have pro days, and a lot of guys aren't doing stuff anyway. But, baseball obviously could not reach an agreement. Everyone is in a bad mood about it. All baseball people are upset about it. And to be fair, everyone has a right to be. This is the second longest work stoppage in the history of baseball right now, outside of 94, 95. So, that which was 200 something days, and we just crossed 90, I believe, here. But we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking about the lockout a little bit more. So stick with us in this league on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and smoking the...
In this league.
Break it down.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour 3 of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. We are going to be talking about the lockout here in just a second. But remember, you can follow us on our Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army, where we got all kinds of stuff for you. Group me rooms. We have rankings. Welsh and I finally did another secret show just yesterday. So we got another one in, our first one since I believe like late November, early December.
See, this is
like
what
that
sucks
so
about not talking to Bogman every night like usual. I had no idea they were doing a secret show. It was that secret.
Well, we were it was definitely a secret show. So we call it a secret show because you can only hear it on our Patreon, obviously. Yeah. But we talked a little bit about Britney Spears and the possibility
Instagram.
Yeah. Come on, man.
I knew where you were going right away. Yeah.
I was born in the 80s, so exactly. Grew up in the 90s, and every male that grew
Catholic
up in the 90s.
Schoolgirls, yeah, all the meaning.
We all follow Britney Spears. So
okay, just making sure. Just I figured you would out of all the things you follow, pretty sure that was an easy one, but I thought I'd ask.
We also talked about a targeted ad that I had for a possible addiction, which was funny.
Was it about like wrist guards?
Bubba's reading between the lines sure. Yeah. Yep. So
great idea of where this is going.
Uh-huh. Yep. So we talked
callus remover.
That we talked about shut up, Bub. We talked about Farrah Abraham's new business venture. Talked a little bit about that on there. And
we wonder why you have targeted ads.
right, exactly. So Welsh was like, well, what does it say? Click on it. I'm like, I'm not doing it, dude.
No.
I'll end up with that as my only advertisement here. So But yeah, and then we talked about John Lajoie. I don't know if you know who John Lajoie is, but if you remember The League, the show The League, he was Taco. And
what happened?
Well, no, nothing happened to him. He's fine, but I don't know. Did you ever see his music videos that he made before The League? Because I knew him before The League.
I never knew him until the videos. I never knew him until The League. And then we had a guy in our league. I'll let you get to it in a minute. We had a guy in our league that never played fantasy football or really watched football very much. Joined our league a long time before that, and we nicknamed him Taco right out the gate.
Right.
And he's to this day, he's still called Taco, and he's actually won the league twice now.
No, there but you go.
The first year he won, he literally just drafted best available player every pick.
BPA.
He had no clue.
He thought he was building a franchise. Yes, and no, exactly. It's fantasy football team.
Sorry, continue.
But yeah, so there's old videos of his from like 2000. I feel like they were from the early 2000s, but maybe it's more, you know, like 2007 and beyond. He has a couple of old songs that we listen to. There's one, I'm sure you've heard it, Everyday Normal Guy rap song. It's been on Instagram recently, like on the Reels check and it stuff. Out. So he has so many funny videos. So we did our reaction videos to those, which was kind of funny.
That's good.
So it was a very fun secret show. So you guys can check that out on our Patreon. That, and we have well over 100, I think it's like 120 secret shows all backlog. If you guys want to listen to those, when I was like, coronavirus, that's nothing. You know, we definitely had a secret show where I said that. So obviously incorrect on that guy, worse than Bob Nightingale on any of those. But let's get into it here, Bub. Let's talk about the disappointment level of not working out a deal. The fact that, it seems like perhaps the owners group manipulated the media into thinking that a deal was going to get done when they actually weren't very close. And then so they could come back and say, well, we don't know what changed with the players. We thought we were getting close. And then we hear Ross Stripling say that they were trying to sneak stuff in, which is just dirty. Everyone's pissed at Manfred. People are starting to get to the, you know, millionaires arguing with billionaires stuff, which, you know, is kind of true. They're not all millionaires, but a lot of them are millionaires. The guys that are in the room are millionaires, fighting for this stuff, which is understandable. They are fighting for the little guy, though. But yeah, I mean, the bottom line is that no agreement has been reached. And at least the first two series will be canceled as it stands right now. As you're listening to this, it could be more if they don't come to an agreement on Thursday and decide to not come back for a week. I'm sure we're going to get more games pushed. But there's talk. I was watching MLB Network during the whole process here. And, you know, they started talking about, well, you know, the owners outside of opening day, which they're still probably going to draw full crowds for because people are still wanting to get out of their houses. Outside of opening day in April, there's just not a lot of big crowds. Kids aren't out of school. Yeah. The weather's not great yet. So they might be willing to miss April and May and wait until the summer months when the kids are out of school and families are taking their everyone to the ballpark and all that stuff, because that's when they make more money anyway. So your initial thoughts, and we'll dive deeper after the break here, but we got a little bit to talk about it. Your initial thoughts on not reaching a deal at the manufactured deadline that the owners group put forth.
Yeah, big point you made. They're manufactured because this whole lockout's manufactured by them. They could be playing baseball right now. This doesn't have to be happening.
Right.
But and the part that made me laugh before the last break, you said it's been going on for 90 days, and there's like at least 43 days where the owners didn't contact the players.
Right.
It's almost half the lockout. They didn't even talk. So
it's just so ridiculous. If you're going to lock them out, I mean, at least work towards fixing the problem.
And I'm not surprised at all when it came out that they were trying to squeeze things into the middle of the night. I'm not shocked at all. It really sucks because obviously we love baseball. A lot of the stuff we do relies on baseball being played, kind of how things work. But I'm glad the players are doing it at least, because they've been bent over for years. They've been trying to fix this like 5 years ago. They fixed it as best they could, but it's still such a mess. Like, you look at, there's an article in The Athletic, and people are putting the picture out there a lot of like the revenue stream, the CBT, and what's actually being shared. And it's really not hard to see why the players want to at least kind of make this a little better. Like, it's really far out there. So it sucks. And most importantly, I'm glad the players are doing it. Not so much for the current players. They're doing this for the younger players.
Yeah.
And that's the most important thing. Like Anthony Rizzo tweeted something out. Mike Trout tweeted something out. I love seeing the players just socially like active right now.
Yeah.
But that's the biggest thing we have to remember. So when you say millionaires versus billionaires, no, it's billionaires versus millionaires trying to support thousandaires.
Right.
And that's what it is. Like this is for the future of baseball, not so much about the 2022 season.
Right. But, you know, it's going to hurt the game so much. And look, the game is still thriving. Like,
but it's the problem.
Well, it's going to hurt Major League Baseball, not the game of baseball. Nothing can hurt the game of baseball. No, but
well, the thing is, I tweeted it out. And I think there's people that are very angry right now, and you might lose a few people. Like people are saying this, what they're saying, but
it's just, you know, and I said this the other day to the Welsh, it's the same people that are never going to watch the NFL anymore because of the halftime shows, you know, because they called Shakira and J-Lo porn. And then, you know, they had rap in the LA one. So like, you know what? Good riddance, you know,
because the biggest thing is like, if you're a baseball fan, you're still going to go watch it. Even if you watch the game on TV, you're supporting them because that's where they get all their money. You're going to go watch a game in person, maybe not this year, but next year. Like, you're going to get back in. You're going to go buy a hat. You're going to do something. So unless you completely cold turkey and never put your eyes on a baseball again, you're just trying to play tough right now. Like, I'm realistic in that respect. Yeah. I hate – if I won't say it on here because you have to bleep things out, but I had a lot of fun tweets using Manfred Pictures yesterday. So I really
– Any of the ones that you would send to me to surprise me all the time?
No, I just, like, took pictures. Like, there's one of him – in his suit behind the podium talking. I said, hey, look, it's a D in a suit.
Welsh tweeted something out. It was, what was the Four Seasons?
With Rudy Trump,
Giuliani. Four Seasons. Yeah. That one, same vibes. I've never seen a person walk away from a podium faster than Rob Manfred did after his announcement that they were canceling the first two series here. So, it sucks. Hopefully it's not going to be very long, but it is. It's going to be a while. So when we come back, look, TGFBI is in full swing. And, Bub, I was the guy that took 2 hours and 45 minutes to make my first round pick. So I had people pissed at me.
You must have been sleeping. Start.
Yeah. Well, no, I wasn't sleeping. I just wasn't home. I didn't even, I pulled it up. It's a whole thing. I'll explain it.
Okay.
After the break here, but we'll check in on your Raz Slam. We'll check in on our TGFBI drafts right now. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this. Talk a little more baseball.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league
is cooking.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour 3 of English League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. Casey, Bubba, Scott Bogman here talking about baseball. Bubba, where can we find all your great stuff and things across the interwebs if people are looking?
Everywhere. No, just follow me on Twitter at BDEntrick, and you'll get everything tweeted out plenty of times. But the Benched with Bubba podcast coming out at least twice a week, even with the lockout, we're going to continue to truck along. I got 3 episodes most weeks in March because I was planning for a big push through draft season. So I have a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday episode for you most weeks in March. So go check that out. You can check it out either on all your listening platforms or on YouTube. Also, written content, rotoballer.com for season-long and DFS. The FantraxHQ.com for some season-long content. FantasyPros.com for some season-long content. And then go check out the Fantasy Black Book by Joe Pisapia and friends, year 10 of the Black Book, where I cover catchers and first base to keep the train rolling. So yeah, lots going on. It isn't stopping. I just drafted Tout Wars on Tuesday, so that's done. I'll have a recap article for that coming out here in the next couple days. We don't stop. We can't stop, won't stop. They will have a season. It's obviously going to be delayed, but they will have a season. When do you think the season happens?
I think May.
I have May 1st. May 1st is mine.
That's my like hard date too. And even the owners had said that, they were willing to miss a month of the season was kind of the initial thought process,
and
right?
It's also what you said about the month of April. It's like they just need to get their games in to hopefully get the playoffs and make their money. So they'll miss the game, the month where they make no money, basically.
Right. Well,
quote unquote, no money. Don't ever think they don't make money. Let me clarify that real quick. They are always making money. Even if no one's in the stadium, ask the Marlins, they're still turning a profit because of the TV deals and revenue sharing.
Well, so
they're not making money because no one's there.
Yeah, there are so many teams, and I was explaining this. My aunt was asking me, like, what is the big deal here? And I was explaining to her about the revenue sharing and all that stuff, and how some teams just the three teams that I, you know, there's probably a couple more, but three teams that just refuse to expand payroll are Miami, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh. Just have been famous for it for like the last 20 years of teams that just, you know, if they were good, the Marlins have pushed their chips in, but they pushed their chips in twice to win a World Series, right? And one time to get a new stadium. Those were the times they pushed their chips in. That's it. Every other year for Miami, it's been, go with a low payroll, get the collective, you know, go with somewhere in the neighborhood of $30 to $40 million in payroll. You get that $50 million check from revenue sharing, and now you're in the black before you've sold one ticket, one jersey, one parking spot, one anything. Yep. And everything else after that is profit on top of your TV deals. Yep. So there are plenty of teams that do that, the Marlins being one of them. And kind of the most obvious, I mean, Pittsburgh just hasn't been able to get out of their own way. I think they, you know, since 2000, where they made the playoff one wild card and they lost to the Cardinals. Yeah. Isn't that it?
No,
they might've made it another time. I don't know.
They made the wild card. That's when B-Craw hit that bomb in the game with Cueto on the bump. I remember that one. The Pirates had a couple of runs, but not as many as they should have with McCutcheon and company.
Right.
That didn't happen. But before we go somewhere else, you mentioned two teams, and we have some kind of baseball news, so we could talk about it briefly. You mentioned the Orioles not spending. They're rumored to have offered a ton of money to Carlos Correa. The contract was more than their entire salary last year for the team,
which, not saying much.
But
yeah,
that
could be $100 million.
So I'm curious. I think it was like 140 or something.
Yeah, that's what the Astros offered him. So
maybe it's 180, just to like top it a little bit. But they offered him. They surprising out of all the teams. Secondly, what about Jeets leaving? Because basically, if you read between the lines, Jeets has said, is he's building a contender.
These and now guys don't want to win.
Marlins don't want to win. So he's like, I'm out. I'm here to win.
They don't want to spend money. They don't want to be competitive. Mm-hmm. They're not interested in winning. And that's part of the stuff that the players are trying to get past is penalties for teams that constantly are not making the playoffs and purposely losing games and stuff like that. So it's a real problem, man. It's a real problem and it needs to get fixed. So, but let's look. Let's try to put the labor stuff aside and talk about, some of these teams that you've been drafting. So I didn't know you did tout. So how did it go? How would you say your draft went? And were you happy with the results? And let us know where you picked from and a couple of your guys and stuff.
I had the second overall pick because in tout, the way they did it, at least for this league, it's my second year. So I don't know, but like the top, I think it was three of us that finished in the order of finishing. You got to pick your draft pick. So I basically did 1, 2, 3. Give me whichever one. I got two. So I picked second out of 12. It's a mixed league. It's OBP instead of average. It's inning pitched instead of wins. And it's saves holds instead of saves. So it was like kind of a trial league last year to try some new stats. They liked it. So we're going to continue to run it. I think I finished third last year in that league. And I was pretty pumped on that one because, you know, some people don't like industry leagues. I take it kind of seriously. So the program Bogman uses, I won't mention the name, stinks, but it's still a fun setup. We drafted on Fantrax, so that was easy. But it's fun because of innings pitched. You know, I have like Jose Barrios is a big innings pitched guy. I have Lance Lynn's. I can't even remember who my ace was now. I have Chris Sale. Grabbed Chris Sale. I was pretty pumped on that. But OBP-wise, at number two, I took Juan Soto. That was a lock-in for me.
And, I mean, Juan Soto's your one anyway, isn't he?
Yeah, I would have had him number one in OBP. Not in overall. Trey Turner's my number one overall in a regular format. but an OBP at Soto. I can pull up the rest of the draft, but I don't have it in front of me. But it was fun. I like my team. I've had a couple people comment that it was pretty solid. We'll see if they're just placating me or not, but so far so good. I haven't looked at it since I finished drafting, really. Like I said, I'm going to go. I have to write my review article on that and everything, and I can really dig in to see how much I do or don't like how things turned out. The one thing is, you know, I tried more aggressively to get some innings eaters pitching wise, and in doing so, you obviously miss some hitters. And stolen bases is an issue. It's talked about all the time. Like, I got guys. It's just, will it be enough? But I think it'll be enough to definitely give it a shot.
Yeah, I mean, as long as if you're good everywhere else, as long as you're middle of the pack.
That's why I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So how about your Razzlam team? Because you were, I think, maybe through 10 rounds last week when we talked. Did you finish it up? Is it done? And
I finished it today.
Well, you were not taking pitchers at all, right? How did the pitching staff end up looking?
Yeah, we went eight. We talked about the first eight picks where I had no pitchers. So pick 9, I took Sale. 11 and 12, I took Charlie Morton, Tyler Molle. And then farther down the list, Alex Wood, Herman Marquez, because it's best ball. So give me the good ones. Nick Pivetta, Andrew Heaney, Cal Quantrill, Christian Javier. And a bunch of dart throws after that. But overall, I don't mind it. I think I only have maybe one reliever in the whole pack because I don't need them.
Nice. All right. Yeah. Okay. And how is TGFBI going? Because like I said, I am the guy that, I pulled it up. So here's the thing is I'm usually in front of my computer all day long. I'm in my office all day long, and I take little breaks away from, you know, curating content, making content and all that stuff. So I take little breaks. Like we were just talking before we started this, I played a game of Madden, right? So that was like my lunch break was that. But I'm almost always in front of my computer, and I pulled the draft room up the night before thinking I'm going to get up and I'm going to, you know, go in front of my computer. Well, I forgot I had family coming in town. So my aunt came in town, we went to lunch, and I completely forgot that it started at 11, didn't get done with lunch, so like 1:30, and of course, you know, I was picked 9, I believe, so it took a while to get to me, but then when it got to me, you know, first round, everyone's excited about it, and I got, you know, like 4 DMs about it, which is fine. I'm not, but I also, like, come on, man, like, it's March 1st, you know, we're gonna get this draft done. You're
excited about baseball.
Yeah, now no one. Now I was up today for 2 hours. I didn't get one DM because everyone's pissed now. So that's very understandable too. But how do you feel about the start of your TGFBI draft?
What if I told you
that
I had the fourth
pick. 30 for 30 start right here.
I had the fourth pick.
I told you.
And I wanted J Ram, but he went third. So I took Bo Bichette.
Okay.
And on the way back, I double tapped. And got Tim Anderson.
Wowee. Okay. I knew you were a big Tim Anderson guy. I didn't know you were that big of a Tim Anderson guy. So second round, Tim Anderson?
Yeah. I grabbed him second round. Gives me the steals. Gives me the power. Good average. He checks all the boxes. So it's not a common thing to take back-to-back shortstops, but I saw our buddy Ryan Bloomfield do it in labor the other night, and it kind of got my attention to seeing how to build. And so far, I don't mind it. It's 11 rounds in. It does leave some spots interesting in drafts, but overall, I'm digging it.
Okay, so you start Bichette and Tim Anderson. Yep. Where do you go after that?
Liam Hendricks with my third pick. Got that closer early. Rosarena, then another Chris Sale. I went Chris Sale, Dylan Cease back-to-back. Pretty pumped on that. And then J.D. Martinez, LeMahieu, Tyler Molle, Eduardo Rodriguez, and Robbie Grossman.
Nice. All right. So here's my start real quick, and we'll talk a little bit more about it on the other side as well. I started pick 9, Vlad Guerrero, and fell to me at 9. So I took him. In the second round, I took DeGrom. And, you know, it's a risk. TGFBI and NFBC leagues, you got to throw them darts. I'm much more willing in a, you know, an industry draft to take a risk. DeGrom, Cedric Mullins in the third, Chris Sale, Eloy, Jack Flaherty, Giancarlo, and Corey Seager is my start right now. So a little questionable on the pitching with Flaherty, Sale, and DeGrom, but I like it so far. I need to get a closer in there pretty soon. But we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little more about TGFBI and then a little bit about what has been talked about at the Combine. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this in this league on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Why the f*** is it called a...
In this league.
Because who could be scared of a...
In this league.
Yeah, just this nice bloke from down the road, isn't he?
What's wrong with you?
Hello, I'm...
In this league.
I've just moved in. My wife has got varicose veins.
I'm having a heart attack. I'm having a heart attack.
You're not having an heart attack.
Welcome back, everybody, in this league on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on Twitter, at Bogman Sports, joined by Casey Bubba, at Pediatric, on the Twitter machine. Wrapping up our talk about TGFBI. So give me a grade here, Bub. I've got Vlad, DeGrom, Mullins, Sale, Eloy, Flaherty, Stanton, and Corey Seager. The only reason I'm not a big Corey Seager guy,
but he,
post pick 100, I mean, you know, why not? So I felt like I kind of had to take him. I had made a whole queue like 2 days before, and he was the last guy left in my queue this morning. So I'm like, all right, I'll take Seager.
No, you got to take him.
Yeah, it got to that point. And that will probably be my only share of Seager so far. But what do you think about that start? Obviously, missing closers is the big thing so far, because they're going early because we still haven't had a lot of guys sign, and a lot of those jobs are up in the air.
Yeah, closers and starting pitching, I'm not in love with, because it's like I'm just scared of DeGrom. I agree with what you said. If you're going to try it in this league, I almost did it in tout.
Right,
A guy I forgot to mention, I took Aaron Nola as my number one. I was so DeGrom went right after me. Like I was really close to doing it. So I get it. And you have plenty of time to address it because there's a great pocket.
Pretty sure that was that was my decision too. Was between DeGrom and mine was between Wheeler. DeGrom and Wheeler. Yeah.
They go right next to each other in those drafts. So I'll give you a B-, but you got plenty of room to improve. Like, because especially starting pitching, there's a great pocket of round between like rounds 10 and 15 or so of just like awesome options that could be like money makers. So not worried about that.
Right. So yeah, we'll see. How would you grade yourself so far on your TGFBI start?
I went pitcher heavy compared to usual. I still have some holes to make. I'd probably say B-. Like I'm happy, but there's still some things I got to address.
Yeah. And that's kind of, I feel like that's how you always feel at the start of your draft. Like through the first like 10 rounds, you're like, maybe. Well, like and I'm then if a couple games, things like, fall, you know.
If there's certain positions, I'm like, okay, I'll wait on this guy. And then like three of them go, I'm like, oh crap. And it's just like one of those things over and over again. So,
yeah. And that's been happening to me more and more this year. You know, people just drafting smarter. Yeah. So
smart people out there.
The way it goes, but hopefully we get baseball, but the enthusiasm for these drafts has definitely hit a brick wall right now. So Monday everyone was enthused because it seemed like we were going to get the deal done, and then by Wednesday nobody cares. So not that nobody cares, but no one's going to be jumping down your throat if you don't immediately pick, because we know we're probably missing a month of the season. So now it's probably 2 months. And, you know, for those of you that are waiting for ITL listener leagues and entry leagues and stuff like that, I will not fill them until we get an agreement and get it done. So that could leave us very little time to fill them, but that's a risk I'm willing to take, because I don't want to fill up these leagues and then have no baseball at all. You know,
totally get that.
Nobody thinks that's going to happen. I don't think that's going to happen, but just in case, I don't want to be, you know, dealing with that whole thing. So we're just going to wait until we get an official agreement. But let's talk a little bit about the combine, because of course, as we're recording this, none of the events have happened. It's just been interviews and stuff, but we did get specifically at the quarterback position, some GM's comments. And let's just start with that the first thing here is that the Packers have not received trade calls for Aaron Rodgers. Is that even believable? I don't believe that for one second, the Packers have not gotten calls yet about Aaron Rodgers.
Remember when the Texans just said no one has called about Deshaun Watson before?
And, right.
You know, this is what they do. They've gotten calls on Aaron Rodgers. I've also heard, I believe it was AJ Hawk, good friend with Aaron Rodgers, said that between the Packers and one other team, they're offering him pretty much whatever he wants. So I still think he goes back to Green Bay personally, because the way he's talked lately, things are pretty good there. And he's going to do it soon, because he says it's not fair to like Davante Adams to linger this long, because basically that's right. How the dominoes will fall in that scenario, and that's his boy. So, to answer your question, yes, teams have called about great. Like, you'd be foolish. You should be fired as a GM that needs a quarterback if you did not call about Aaron Rodgers. But I think in the grand scheme of things, Rodgers is going to go. Like we talked about salary cap gymnastics recently. They've already turned David Bakhtiari's like salary for next season into a signing bonus.
So much of that happening. The Saints have cleared, I think, $42 million, which would still make them over $30 million.
Like,
over
the cap. The whole thing. They're like, these guys, if they want a player, they're going to get them. They'll figure it out.
They'll finagle away and create cap space and all that stuff. I mean, for the most part, the Saints still can't fit Aaron Rodgers because they're way too far.
They have to get rid of Hill.
Yeah. They got to get rid of Hill. They already turned Michael Thomas's contract into a lot of bonuses. They, like I said, they finagled their way. Some guys getting cut. You know, we just saw Devontae Booker get cut, Kyle Rudolph get cut. That's going to be happening right now too. Teams are working their cap number ahead of free agency. Free agency starts March 14th. So, you know, that's when guys will be willing to sign. You got to get your franchise tags, I believe, the week before that. So that should be happening next weekend. So, or this weekend, I mean, pretty soon on those franchise tags. So a lot of stuff coming out, but we've heard a couple other things. Jags GM Trent Baalke said that they're always open for business in terms of the first overall pick. Browns GM Andrew Berry said, I don't think there's any reason that Baker Mayfield can't rebound. Somehow Cliff Kingsbury got a contract extension, which I don't understand at all. Then we had a couple of teams, and I feel like this is what we hear at the Combine always. The Seahawks don't plan on trading Russell Wilson. The Vikings don't plan on trading Kirk Cousins. Now, opposite of that, Jimmy G is going to have right shoulder surgery, and still they expect him to be traded this month in March ahead of the draft. So we'll see if that happens. Daniel Jones is the starting quarterback in New York, according to the GM, John Schein, but they are willing to listen on Saquon, which is interesting. And then, you know, they're working through Carson Wentz's future in Indy, and the Bills have interest in Gronk. So this stuff, the little rumors, and we're going to get way more of these before the end of the combine. The little rumors are my favorite part about the combine. I think it generates the most news, most realistic news, that and like the really impressive performances. Those are the big things from the combine. Anything else is eye rolling for the most part. But your thoughts on any of these? What would you pick out of that group that stands out to you?
The Kingsbury one is quite shocking. I wonder how much of that's Kyler Murray induced.
Right.
Because that's a whole another part of that Arizona story. You think if one's coming back because they want Kyler back, so if Cliff got the extension, there's got to be something in play there. You'd imagine
it's got to be that's what Kyler wanted.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying.
That it has to be Kyler wanted it.
That's what I'm saying. So there's got to be something there to make that work, because Kyler wants an extension as well. So if Kyler wants an extension, he wants his coach. They wouldn't be like it wouldn't work together. So interesting for sure. The Jimmy G one's fun because, you know, having shoulder surgery, how's that going to limit his trade options per se? Yeah. So that makes it kind of fun as well. And then, yeah, Carson Wentz gone. We're working through it's cute because Ballard's had some other conversations earlier that pretty much said we're already looking for a replacement. Right. So that's the rumor that the other team besides Green Bay for Aaron Rodgers is Indianapolis, because Jim Irsay will pay for whatever.
And yeah,
that's kind of the idea, because they have that window. They got that team that's so close in a bad division right now. It's like you got to pounce soon or you're going to lose some options.
Somebody tell Jim Irsay to not drive himself around with all of his products. So
I can't even make fun of Jim Irsay anymore, because the dude, like every time I see him on Hard Knocks or something else, He's like the greatest human being alive.
He's fun, dude. He's such a good friendly dude.
Like, yeah. Giver. Like, yeah.
Well, I remember him on Parks and Rec, man. Like, yeah, you know,
he's awesome.
They filmed Parks and Rec in LA, but it's from a made up city in Indianapolis, or in Indiana. I mean, yeah. And so, you know, Andrew Luck and Reggie Wayne and all these defensive, Robert Mathis, all these other guys, you know, showed up to do a play 60 thing for the NFL, and Jim Irsay was there. I mean, it was, you know, always a nice guy, but a little bit on the crazy side.
He's goofy. Like right now, since the season ended, he's been on a tour with his band.
Right.
Like doing dive bars. He's a billionaire.
Right.
Doing tours of like, he's just a different breed.
He's just a dude. You know, he's just a dude. He's one of us that got money, right?
That's pretty much
kind of what he is. Yeah.
If you watch the Hard Knocks, like I hope they do the in-season Hard Knocks again, because I liked it a lot more than the preseason one. If people watch that with the Colts, you get a lot of Irsay and Irsay's family, and it's hard not to like the guy when it's all said and done. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, very interesting with Carson Wentz. Anything else? I kind of this first overall pick in the Jags being, you know, willing to trade down is interesting. I think for the most part, if you are bad enough to get the number one overall pick, you need it, and you need some franchise changer. But that's kind of the thing. The very top of this draft, you know, is questionable. I think the best player is probably Aiden Hutchinson. I don't know if we've both, you know, said take the offensive lineman, protect Trevor Lawrence. And that kind of seems to be what the mantra is for most mock drafts right now, is take that O-lineman. But if you're the Jags, do you think trading down and getting multiple picks might be better for your franchise than just taking the best overall player, in their opinion, in this draft? You kind of put your eggs in more baskets getting extra picks.
Yeah, if they can get a couple first rounders or, you know, kind of multiple picks, obviously more than just a couple first rounders, but at least a couple first rounders to get the party started type thing.
Right.
I think it's a great move, because if they're that bad to be number one, they probably have more than one hole.
Right.
And like, you just basically you're talking about with Hutchinson, he's really, really good, probably the top pick. There's a lot of drafts where he wouldn't have been the top pick. So that tells you that there's like room to wiggle and maybe get some other pieces you need compared to the actual like stud. There's O lineman you can get later. There's this, that, or the other, where you can maybe help build a team a little quicker potentially. So that works. Then again, as a Dolphins fan, I watched a lot of picks get wasted. So knock yourself out.
Yeah. And I don't know that I'm trusting Trent Baalke to, you know, make a lot of deals here. Most Jags fans want him gone.
So pretty tough run there.
Yeah, I mean, you make bad decisions like Urban Meyer, and it's just, you know, everyone's going to be questioning your decision.
Stick to AEW.
Right. Everyone's going to be questioning your decision-making moving forward. So we'll see. Yeah, I mean, I think that's an interesting one. If you gun to your head right now, obviously no one's actually holding a gun to your head, but if you're the Cleveland Browns, are you pushing your chips in on Baker Mayfield, or are you looking somewhere else? Number one overall pick, obviously took him in the playoffs. First quarterback to take him there in a long time. Had a down year, injured all year last year. Kind of an undersized guy. Is Baker Mayfield the guy to get it done here in Cleveland, or are you looking somewhere else? Because they're in a window right now. But, you know, you just had the odds come out, and the Ravens are number one in the division, which surprised me, because the Bengals were just in the Super Bowl and, you know, the Steelers were just in the playoffs. They're bad, but they were bad with Ben playing the worst quarterback play he's ever played. So what do you think about Baker moving forward?
I think he deserves another chance. Chips all in's tough, but he's much better than he's, you know, appears, because that injury definitely got him in a bad, bad way. He almost got them to the postseason, I believe, recently, at least a lot of wins. So
it beat Pittsburgh the year before. Yeah, remember,
I'd definitely be willing to give him another shot. There's no hiding that. At the same time, I'd keep my head on a swivel looking for someone else. I wouldn't be clueless, but because you, like you said, that window's small, so you need that replacement quick.
Yeah.
So like, I wouldn't be opposed to like a fourth round quarterback this year, something like that.
A Davis Mills type.
That'd be perfect.
Yep. Exactly. I'm with you on that in terms of Cleveland. I think this is it. You get another dance, Baker. But there's no excuses, injury or poor performance. This is it. This is your year. So we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll end the 3-hour tour of In This League on the Sports Grid. Stick with us right back after this.
Sp-
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
You guys hear Endless Love. You know what that means. It's the end of the three-hour tour of In This League on the Sports Grid. Like I said, please follow us on the Twitter, at Bogman Sports for myself, at BD Entrick for Bubba, at Is It The Welsh for the Welsh, and check out our Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army, or inthisleague.com. We'll take you there. Like I said, group me rooms, secret shows, live streams, brand new secret show up there. Pretty funny, if I do say so myself. So please check that out. But this one was interesting, and I think the Bills are more interested than Gronk is, because I think Gronk has said he'll never play for another quarterback. So I assume he's going to be retiring. But the Bills have interest in him, but they also still have Dawson Knox. But That's a great 1-2 combo, and that's what the Patriots did for a long time with, you know, Hernandez and Gronk. Yeah. So a Dawson Knox and Gronk would be fun awesome. To watch in Buffalo too. So what do you think of that possibility? That's interesting.
It's a great move. It's a phenomenal move. Like, he sees Josh Allen, the window's there for Buffalo to take over that division. He doesn't have to be the one, because Knox is the one, like you said. So, and the thing is, Knox is a red zone target, but now you get another beast in the red zone there. He'll be affordable, because Gronk doesn't really care about breaking the bank. If he wants to go to Buffalo, he'll make it work type thing. So I think it's quite intriguing. And honestly, if he's saying that, he sees what we're all seeing, that Buffalo's that close to getting it done, which because he's not doing it for any other reason besides a ring.
Right.
And I would love to see Gronk in Bills Mafia.
Yes.
Like, my goodness. Like, if a Bildo gets thrown on the field, he's going to grab it and do something like a shake weight and throw it or something. He'll be jumping off stuff. Like, it'll be amazing. Electric.
It's the ultimate.
It's built for him.
It's built for him. Like, he will definitely. There's
Can you imagine
no
his
way.
Brothers, his family, like, dude, at a tailgate before the game?
There's no way, if he goes to Buffalo, that he doesn't go through a table at some point. There's just 0% chance. He is 100% going through a table at some point in a video, or
he did
maybe
WWE, like, you know,
a celebration. Yeah, yeah. Something. He's going through a table for sure. I think it's a perfect fit. I would love to see it specifically for fantasy too. It'd be a lot of fun. But that is it. We got to go. We hope you guys enjoyed it. Stay safe out there. We will see you guys next week. Take it easy, everybody.